Book of Jeremiah, chapter 8, just a few verses here we want to read today. We have for several weeks been on the topic of the harvest. And today, going to kind of, I think, maybe wrap up some thoughts along the line of the harvest and the scripture text here today from Jeremiah, chapter 8. And we're going to read here beginning with verse 19. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past. The summer is ended. We are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? The harvest is past. As I said, we've been talking and going along with this theme of the harvest. We've talked about the soil being the hearts of men. We talked about the seed being the truth of God's word. We've talked about the plowing of the Lord, how that the Lord prepares the soil to receive the seed. And then in talking about the seed, the potential and the power of the gospel. We've talked about the rain as the former and the latter rain that falls eventually to bring the fruit, that place that it can be, it can grow to its potential in the ministry of the Spirit. So there's so much in God's word that deal with this important topic of the harvest. But this is probably one of the most, sobering of the messages along the lines of the harvest when Jeremiah says, the harvest is past and we are not saved. The harvest is past. We are not saved. Now, Jeremiah, from the beginning, had one of the most difficult callings that anyone could ever have. He was called of God to be a prophet to Israel. And God warned him, you're going to preach to them, and they're not going to receive it. He knew from the beginning, even before he preached to them, God had warned him, They won't hear what you've got to say. So in essence, what God had said to him, and Jeremiah realized, I'm called to preach, but to not have any success at it. I'm going to preach. No one's going to hear me. They're not going to respond to it. What a discouraging thought. But it was an important thing for him to just be obedient to the call of the Lord, even though it was a very difficult task. He was to be a lone spiritual voice to the people of God who did not want to hear him. They didn't want to listen to what he had to say. And so really God had spoke to Jeremiah and told him, what you're going to do is you are going to oversee the destruction of your nation. You're going to watch it happen before your very eyes. You're going to warn them about it, and you're going to weep over it. Of course, Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. When you read through the book of Jeremiah and Lamentation, also written by Jeremiah, there's this repeated references to his tears, his weeping, his grief, his sorrow over the circumstance. How horrible would it be to give warning after warning after warning and for it to never, ever touch their hearts and never get them to the place that they would respond to it? You know, there comes an end to opportunity. Now, the harvest season in Israel or Palestine was like this. In the springtime is when the first of the grains begin to come to be ripe and ready. Barley first, and then a few weeks later, the rest of the grains would be ready to be harvested. The last of the harvest was at the end of summer or the first of the part of the fall, and that was when the fruits and things of that sort would come and be ripe and ready for taking. But there was just this window of opportunity for each one, the grains and the fruit. There was just a certain amount of time, and then the fruit was gone, and the opportunity was gone during that season. If they didn't take advantage of the opportunity they had, then the fruit would be gone, and they couldn't go to the supermarket. They knew that they had to bring all their fruit in, and to bring all the harvest in at the appropriate season of the year. If they did not, bring it in and put it in storage and prepare it for the winter. If they didn't do that, then they were going to be too late. And they weren't going to have what they needed. They couldn't go to Walmart. They couldn't go to Kroger. They were dependent upon making sure that they took advantage of the season. And they brought all the fruit in during that season. So there's this spiritual lesson, like an allegory, comparing the harvest even to the spiritual condition of Israel, the condition that they were in, and that there was an opportunity for them to hear the warning of Jeremiah that God in his mercy gave to them again and again and again. Over a span of many years of Jeremiah's life and ministry, he was repeatedly warning them, repeated the message that there is to be destruction that was going to come from the north, that was going to be Babylon that was going to come in. And he repeatedly warned them, this is going to happen. And God was merciful in giving them warning after warning after warning. And I it's interesting to me that we also, there's like even a further parallel to that, in that today we live in a time when people are not listening to God. They are not hearing the warnings. That there's a season of opportunity that we're living in right now, a season of grace, a season where people can receive the Lord. This is a nation where so many people, the majority of people in America, know about Jesus, and most know about salvation, and they know what to do. They're just not doing it. They're not responding to the warnings and to the opportunities that they have. Jeremiah 6 and 1, evil appeareth out of the north and great destruction. Jeremiah warned them of what was going to happen. And I mentioned a couple of Wednesday nights ago from the book of Lamentation that in Lamentation, the book of Lamentation is really Jeremiah's watching it. He's watching people being killed and destroyed right before his eyes. He's watching the temple being burned, the city being burned, and the devastation coming in against them. He's observing it all going on. That's the book of Lamentation. He warned them in the book of Jeremiah of what was going to happen. In Lamentation, it's happening. And he's weeping and grieving over the things that are happening around him. So the harvest time is the opportunity time. It's the time that we have right now. But quite frankly, I'm sure that this time is coming to an end. We know that we are moving closer and closer and closer to the end of this age. I mean, people that are not even Bible scholars, people that don't even pay any attention to God, they recognize that we are living in times that are very, very urgent times. They see the things that are happening around the world. They see the wars. They see the various things that are happening, the earthquakes and all of these things that are happening at an increasing frequency. They see these things and they recognize it as a sign that surely this age is coming to a close. We know as Christians and as Bible readers that is the truth, and our opportunities will one day soon run out, and we won't have the opportunity to preach. We won't have the opportunity to witness. We won't have the opportunity to pray prayers for our lost loved ones and friends. There's going to come a time very soon that if the opportunity that God has given to us, these wonderful days of grace, are going to run out. And that should strike in our hearts an urgency to realize what we must do, we need to get busy doing it now. And we need to stay busy and be always ready to be used of the Lord. For right now, you can work for God. Right now, you can witness for the Lord. Right now, you can pray. We're living in a season right now where we need to heed the warning and recognize the end of this age is coming to a close. The harvest is past, and we're not saved. That's a very sad and a sobering verse of Scripture to think that things could all, that time would run out, and that there would be those that had not received the Lord and not turned to the Lord. Not only is the end of the age coming, but we also have to recognize that in every life, God's really in control of your life and your future. So even before the end of this age, your opportunities might run out. You might come to some circumstance in your life, even where your life comes to an end, and even at a young age. And so we don't know the future. We don't know how things are going to work, but we just know this, that we're called of God to a sense of urgency about the times that we're living in right now. Proverbs 10, verse 5, "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." There's an opportunity that God wants us to step forward and take advantage of it and do what we can to reach as many as we can for the glory of God. Romans 13 and 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." The night is almost over. The time for action and for seizing opportunity is right now to do what we can for the glory of God and for the saving of the lost. There are many, many right within our reach in our community that are not serving the Lord. They don't go to church. They have nothing to do with God, living their lives without much thought of the things of the Lord. They are our opportunity. They are within our reach and our calling and our responsibility. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Today, right now. And don't put off to another day what must be done right now. We're living in this wonderful day, this dispensation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the day of salvation. This is the day when people can come to the Lord and should come to the Lord and take advantage of the opportunity that God has given to us to preach the gospel, to pray for the lost, to evangelize, to reach out to a world that is in need and do our part to reach them. You don't know what another day is going to bring forth. I've told this experience before, but a brother and I were doing some visitation on a Saturday evening, talking to some people, inviting them to church. We knocked on the door of a house where the children had come to church some on the van. And when the man opened the door, he invited us to come in. And we talked to him about the Lord, talked to him about coming to church. This was on Saturday afternoon or maybe early evening on Saturday that we talked to him about coming. And he was all positive about it. "Oh, yes, I want to come. I'm going to come. I have every intention of coming. I will be there. But I have just started a new job, and tonight is my new job." It started that evening, that midnight shift, that night, working at a convenience store. The convenience store was just about a quarter of a mile up the road from the church. And he said, "Tonight's my first night, so my first opportunity to come, I will come." He had every good intention of doing that. He didn't know that at about 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning, on his first shift working that night, that a man was going to come in to rob that convenience store and shot him point blank in the chest as he stood behind the counter. And that man died that night. And about 3 days later, we had his funeral in the church. And we had witnessed to him and talked to him, and he had good intention of coming, but he didn't. He didn't make it. He didn't make it. His opportunity came, and it was gone. That's a sad, sad story. It was an overwhelming, sad experience to see someone lose their life and to lose their opportunity to turn to the Lord. Every day, God gives to every believer opportunities. Every day. Opportunities to do something for God. You can never imagine it, but just the smallest thing that you do for the kingdom, the smallest thing that you do to advance the kingdom of God, oh, it has great potential. It can really change someone's life. It can really make a difference in the lives of people. So never think that what you're doing in your small effort is not important. It is important. A kind word, just a small gesture of kindness or love, just a few words that would point them to Jesus Christ. You can never imagine how powerful that can be to impact somebody's life. Don't lose those opportunities to show kindness, to show love, to show mercy, to reach out to those that need the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. Don't throw away the opportunities, because you won't always have that opportunity. You won't always have a receptive heart. You won't always have the time to be able to do what you desire to do. I know to be a witness to influence people's lives, you have to step out of your normal routine. You have to be willing to step up and to be involved, to involve yourself in people's lives. Sometimes it's easier to just kind of live to ourselves, do what we are doing. We're busy. We've got a lot of things going. It's not always the easiest thing to do, to step out of your normal routine and just step into somebody's life and say, can I help you with that? Is there anything I can do for you? Just to speak to them a kind word, just to show to them the love of God, to open up a door of opportunity to share with them the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Colossians 4 and 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Another version of that same verse, it says, be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Take advantage of every opportunity that you have to minister to them, to love them, to care for them, to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. I wonder how serious are we really? We make the mistake of living to ourselves. We are consumed with our own problems and needs instead of looking at those around us that they really have a desperate need, and that is they need to know Jesus Christ. And if you're saved, born again of the Spirit, it's the most wonderful and the glorious gift that can ever come to any person. And this Thanksgiving season, when you're enumerating all the wonderful blessings, you should thank the Lord for the day that you heard about Jesus. You should thank the Lord for the time that you heard about the gospel. When the gospel was preached to you and you heard the message and you responded in faith and your life was changed. There's nothing more important. We've got a lot to be thankful for. Homes cars and clothes and all these wonderful things that we have that are a part of the wonderful blessing that God gives us. But none of them can compare at all to the fact that one day we met Jesus Christ. Amen. What a glorious and a wonderful thing it is. And we should be serious about reaching people, about touching people's lives. It is not a waste of your time, but rather it is a great investment in the souls of men when you're willing to care about someone, to pray for them. I told you that I've been praying for some of my neighbors and calling their name out before the Lord. I'm just believing that the Lord is going to give to us an opportunity to reach out to them. That time hasn't come yet, but maybe today or maybe this week, there will be the opportunity to talk to them. And I know about some of them. I know that they're anti-religious, anti-church, and not interested at all. So God will have to do the work in their heart to prepare their heart. But he knows how to do that.
And that's why we pray for them, that God would prepare their heart and that they would one day receive the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So don't waste the opportunity to invest in people through prayer, to invest in people through kindness and love and mercy. Don't. You're not wasting your time whenever you give to someone and you bless them and you do it all in the name of the Lord. Oh, the potential of that kind of an opportunity that God gives to every one of us. So we should have this kind of a vision and a burden to reach those and realize that as we turn someone to the Lord, there's no greater joy than knowing that you have influenced someone toward the gospel. It's interesting that the word opportunity comes from a Latin word that means toward the port. It's a nautical term, toward the port. Every port was another new adventure for those that were navigating the seas. Every port was a new opportunity. It was a new open door. It was a new learning experience. It was new people that they would meet, new experiences, maybe in a new culture or a new toward the port. That's an opportunity that God gives to us every day of our lives. If our eyes are open, God gives to us new opportunities whereby we are able to influence people for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray for them because we realize the time will run out on them. They may have an opportunity today, but they may not have that opportunity tomorrow or next week. We pray with an urgency because we know that they won't always have this season of grace to hear and receive the gospel. We witness with the knowledge that this opportunity is going to run out. And there's going to come a time when the season of grace and of fruitfulness will be over. You know, sometimes God gives opportunities and they are disguised in trouble, or they're disguised by tragedy sometimes. Look for opportunities to reach out to someone that's in need. They may not be open to you when things are going along well, but when they're in trouble, when they're facing heartache or tragedy in their life or in their family, there may be a difference in their spirit. God may have used those circumstances to soften their heart. So step up. Be that person that loves them and cares about them. Be that person that's willing to intercede, to involve yourself in their life. And many times, opportunities are disguised by trouble or tragedy or heartache. So step up and let the Lord use you to minister to them in their time of need. I'm reminded of Brother Clendenin and his ministry in the Soviet Union. The doors opened up about in the early 90s. And when he went in to the Soviet Union that for decades had been closed because of communism and atheism and a rejection of the gospel, but God opened up the door. And when the door opened, Brother Clendenin, along with many others, went in to preach the gospel. He established the School of Christ because he wanted to train preachers to go all over Russia and to preach the gospel. That's exactly what he did. After spending a few months there, he realized this is the most urgent thing for me to do right now. So he went home, and after pastoring the church there in Beaumont, Texas for over 30 years, he resigned the church and said, I'm moving to the Soviet Union. And he did for a matter of, two to three years, that Brother and Sister Clendenin lived in Russia, and he conducted these schools to train preachers and young disciples to spread the gospel. And the influence is still there. It's still spreading. And now there's a brother that is heading up the School of Christ in the Soviet Union, or the former Soviet Union. And the gospel is still being proclaimed. All of these many years later, it was an open door that God gave many times. The opportunity when it's closed, but through trouble or tragedy, God may open the door, such as he did there in the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union. The same thing was true in India and those Asian countries. You remember when that terrible tsunami struck those nations. There was about five or six of those Asian countries that were devastated. There were hundreds of thousands of people that died as a result of that tsunami. Some people were just standing back in horror at what happened. But others who were looking for opportunities to preach the gospel, Indonesia was one of the most, I guess you would say, rabid Muslim nations that they were killing Christians, and it was just almost impossible to get into Indonesia to preach the gospel. But whenever all of that aid started coming in there, it was mostly Christian aid. It was, you know, Feed the Children and Samaritan's Purse and all these different Christian agencies that was coming in there. And along with the food supplies and the help that was coming in, they were preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel with people. And the nation was greatly influenced. And now there is a difference, and there is more of an openness in Indonesia. Now there are actually missionaries there in Indonesia that are able to stay for at least a certain period of time to preach the gospel. God can use tragedy to open the doors and to give opportunity to preach the gospel. Amen. And he can give you an opportunity like that in circumstances that are around you, the trouble and the heartache that you may see around you. Look for the opportunity. Yes, to comfort them. Yes, to bless them and to help them in their trouble and their tragedy. But really to be a representative, an ambassador for Jesus Christ. To go in there and to bless them and to help them. And do it in the name of the Lord. Do it in the name of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As God gives you opportunity. Very few times when people are in trouble that they will turn down prayer. They might not want someone to pray for them at other times. But when they're really going through it, when they're up against it, they welcome someone that knows how to get a prayer through, who can come and minister to them in their time of need. Amen. Now, for me personally, I've been watching very closely the North Korean situation. I know it's in the news. I know that that's kind of the hot spot in the world right now. But I'm not thinking about the economic, or I'm not thinking about the bombs or the all that potential thing. I'm thinking about the fact that I believe that God is going to open the door for the gospel in North Korea. There is such a barrenness there, such a devastation there because of the hatred and the atheism that controls North Korea. Millions of people there that are starving to death. You may have read some on the account of that soldier who made a run for it. For South Korea, just happened this week. He saw his opportunity and he made a run for the border to get out of North Korea. And he ran and he was shot five times by his comrades before he got there. But he made it across the border. They took him to a hospital. He's going to survive. They found out that his body was filled with parasites and worms because of the terrible food conditions that are there in North Korea. But he got out. You know, there's something like 16 or 18 million people that live in that place. And there's still a population, small, but there's still a small percentage of believers that are there. And I believe they're praying and they're crying out to God for deliverance. And they're asking God to give them opportunities to spread the gospel. If they're found out, they'll be killed. They'll be murdered if they find out that they're a Christian group that's meeting. But I'm watching it closely and thinking, Lord, maybe someday you allow us to be involved in something that's sending the gospel in to North Korea. Someday, Lord, you may take that devastation and turn it into an opportunity. Maybe we can be a part of it someday to see the gospel go in there. Everywhere you look, there are tragedies and there is sorrow and there is so much need. And all of it is just opportunity. Opportunity for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't want the opportunities to pass me by. I understand what Jeremiah was saying when he said, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. All of his efforts, all of his preaching, all of his investment in those people, the tears and the prayers. Verse 21, it kind of describes even a little bit more how he feels. The hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt? He was grieving. He was crushed over the condition that they were in and the devastation that they were facing. Verse 22, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? And that phrase really is a phrase that describes, you see, in Gilead is where most of the herbs and the medicines were found. As a matter of fact, most physicians at that time lived in the region of Gilead. So really it was kind of a little bit of a sarcasm there. He was saying, is there no healing in Gilead? He was saying there is every provision. If there is a doctor anywhere, he's in Gilead. If there is medicine anywhere, it's in Gilead. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? What was he saying? He was saying there is this grand opportunity for help. It's there. The provision is made. The healing is there. The physician is there. But they're not healed. They haven't taken hold of the opportunity. And one day soon, the opportunity is going to be gone. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And the opportunity for fruitfulness or reaching the lost is going to be over. A writer by the name of John Greenleaf Whittier said this, of all the sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been. It might have been. Have you ever looked back on some experience and thought, oh, if only I would have done this. If only I would have made that decision. If only I would have stepped in that circumstance. It would have been different. My life would have been different, or the lives of others would have been different. If only. I don't want to have to face those kind of feelings of regret. But I want to step up and do what it is that God calls us to do. Are you willing? Are you willing? The opportunity is here. The harvest is ready. But the season of harvest is almost gone. So let's take hold of the urgency with a newfound concern and burden and reach as many as we can for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've called us and you've allowed us, Lord, to be a part of this last day harvest. Lord, help us to be willing to sacrifice. Help us to be willing to invest in the lives of people. Lord, even though they're going through trouble and tragedy and heartache, even though their lives may be twisted and messed up by sin, Lord, use us to step in and to show mercy and to show love and to give to them the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would just put your hand upon every man and woman, every young person that's in this service today, and that we would be willing to say yes to you and to step up and do, Lord, what you're calling us to do. We know that the season of opportunity is running out quickly. So, Lord, help us to be willing to be obedient and do your bidding. In Jesus' name, praise God.